8:30 the time, 640 WXSM on the Sports Monster. It is Monday with Bobby and Kenny, joined by the play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith. Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
There was a guy once said, roughly paraphrased here, "Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated." Reports of the Titans' death has been greatly exaggerated over the last couple of weeks. My goodness, this team just keeps going out there and doing what they need to do.
That's been the case. You know, that's what we've been able to see from the Titans, is they've been able to play consistently enough in all phases and to do the little things well that have put them over the top. They won the football game yesterday largely because of a difference in special teams. And in years past, special teams have been a real issue for the Titans. I would contend that top to bottom, this is probably the best overall special teams they've had in years. And yesterday, it ended up making the difference in what was a very tight, very hard-fought game between two good teams. Saints have a good team, and they did some good things offensively. And you would expect a Sean Payton team always is going to move the football. They did, particularly in the second half. But the Titans got points off their special teams, didn't miss any opportunities, and made some plays on offense and defense, and that got them home.
You know, Mike, when you take a look at the game and some of the players in it, and you talked about some of the players just a minute ago, how about the job that your receivers, Marcus Johnson, Deontay Foreman, I think Johnson had 100 yards, Foreman with 48. Then you have Foreman with 30 yards rushing. I mean, I thought he had a big game.
Yeah, Foreman did a nice job, you know, and to have 13 touches for 78 yards and the swing pass that set up the field goal in the fourth quarter that the Titans desperately needed. I think you're going to see him taking more of a role as we go. He's got fresh legs. He's a very good athlete. He's 240 pounds. You know, it didn't show as much in the final stats, but Adrian Peterson ran better yesterday and looked more comfortable yesterday. So you started to see more of a spark out of the two of them. That was the number one defense, run defense at least, in the NFL. And for them to be able to sort of figure it out as they went and to get better in week two, I think you see some things out of that. Back to Marcus Johnson, though. Marcus Johnson is a guy who has shown these flashes. This is his third career 100-yard receiving game. So, I mean, this is a player who has done it at different points. He has just not done it consistently. And the feeling of the Titans is that it's more about him than it is the situation. He's got to get the confidence that he can do that all the time. And they were elated to see him break through yesterday.
Your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill's numbers were pretty good, but this is a guy that came in battling a stomach bug, you know, had it been any other time of the season. And you know, we talk about people's toughness, and Tannehill toughed it out and helped lead this team to a win.
Played well again and better than the numbers show. You know, he just keeps making the right calls for this team, doesn't take lots of chances, puts you in good positions at all times, gives his receivers a chance to do something with it after the catch. And yeah, when you consider he's battling a stomach bug too, that's not a good thing. You know, when you, and I think we all remember this, when your kids are little, you tend to get everything they get, and some of the stuff they get mm-hmm. can be nastier for you than it is for them. And it sounds like that may have been what happened.
Did you like your chances yesterday when you found out that obviously New Orleans also had a number of players out as well, especially their running back, Alvin Kamara, the former Tennessee Volunteer? It's like two of the premier backs in the NFL didn't play in this game.
Yeah. Didn't break my heart. I'll be honest with you. I want Alvin to do well, and I hope he's okay, and I hope he's able to play next week. But I'm always for good players taking a week off when they play the Titans. I think it's good for everybody that they get that extra rest. But there was also a part of me that started to say, is this going to be the repeat of what the Titans did in Los Angeles in reverse? And that is, a team loses their running back, here's they have no chance, and then they turn it on in other places. More, though, I was concerned about the unknown with Sean Payton, because he's always going to find stuff. It doesn't matter who he has or what he has. He's going to find a way. I mean, Mark Ingram yesterday had 47 yards rushing and had 64 yards receiving. And that's kind of a Kamara game. So in the end, I don't know that it would have been vastly different. It may have been Kamara with those yards, maybe a few more, who knows. But I think that they are so good at what they do in New Orleans. They scare you, whoever they've got.
You know, let's talk about the call. I mean, obviously, Sean Payton after the game would not talk about it, but he was not happy. A slight roughing the passer penalty on linebacker Caden Ellis wiped out Tannehill's interception in the end zone by safety Marcus Williams. He would later score a one-yard sneak for a 13-6 lead. At that point, what did you see?
Hit him in the head. It's a penalty. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Is it big? Is it violent? Is it terribly blatant? I don't know. But it sure has been called on us in the past. So, I mean, you know, we got one later in the game called on Byard hitting Marquez Callaway after he made a catch, and, you know, kind of looked like he went into the shoulder. I mean, they call what they call. I think until that call is reviewable upstairs, which I think it should be, I think you're always going to have this go on. But it's happened to us, and it went our way yesterday. I can assure you, I mean, we had the Jeff Simmons call a few weeks ago at Indianapolis go against us. We had one last year in the last drive of the game at Minnesota go against us, and it's just that's it. I mean, I understand why everybody's upset, and what I think's important for the Titans, though, is when you get that break, you go in and score,
yeah.
And they did.
Yeah,
Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, with us this morning.
Defensively, I think this guy's had pretty much an all-pro season. Jeffrey Simmons had a career-high 3 of the Titans' 5 sacks. And last week's win over the Rams, he had 2 more by halftime. And then you had Harold Landry also had a sack, giving him a career-high 10 for the season. The Titans had 4 by halftime. We talked so much about the defense and how they're going to fill this hole, how they're going to fill that hole, but about the offense, that is. But the defense, I think, has just been solid.
They have been. They've done a nice job. And, you know, they had a couple of situations yesterday where the Saints were in field goal range and sacks knocked them out of field goal range. And in a game that turns out to be that close, that obviously makes a massive difference. So I think that the defense and the pass rush in particular has been outstanding. We were excited to see Bud Dupree back in there, and he left after the first series with an abdominal injury. And now we have to wait and see what that's all about. And hopefully that's not going to knock him out for a long time. But we're trying to figure it all out right now. And fortunately, Jeff and Harold and Danico Autry keep coming through for us. Danico Autry didn't have a sack yesterday, but he's causing a lot of that mess inside, because you got to figure out what to do with him, or he's playing a game or you know, running something that frees up Big Jeff or frees up Harold. And those guys have just been outstanding. What a year for Jeffrey Simmons, and what a year for Harold Landry.
No, I agree with you. Just unbelievable. Let's talk about the injury report. You just mentioned Bud. Taylor was out. Ola was out as well. Julio Jones out. Will we see them next week against Houston Texans?
Well, LaJuan and Adaney came back, so that was good. They got IVs, and they came back in the ball game. The Julio Jones thing, I think, was a good move. And in case your listeners aren't familiar, because it happened on Saturday, the Titans placed him on IR, which means he had to miss this past game and then two more. And then after the next two, the Titans get a bye. And so he will have a month off and then have a chance to come back for December 12th against Jacksonville. And I think that's probably the right move. I mean, the guy's been working and you know, he played a nice game in Los Angeles, and you're saying, okay, great, we're going to get going. And then Thursday, he hurts it again in practice. And, you know, it's not like this guy's not trying. It's not, he's given a great effort to be there, and he's frustrated. And now I think what you do is you take this month, you see if you can't get him well, and you have him ready for December. So I think it was a good move overall to kind of shut him down and just say, okay, let's see if we can't get this straight for the stretch run.
Mike Keith, voice of the Titans. Mike, as much as the college game and NFL game are similar, they are vastly different in many ways. But let me ask you about this. Is flopping, from the football terminology, ever a problem in the NFL? Because it's becoming an increasing problem, it appears, at the college level.
Sure.
Oh, is it? Problem. Okay.
Yeah.
How do they
see? I mean, it happens.
How do they address it? How do they, as the league, address it, or do they?
Well, I don't know that there's a specific way that they do it. I mean, but one of the things is the assessment of timeouts in the last 2 minutes. And so it really can't happen in those situations. Pardon me for not knowing the rule in college ball, but if you have to take a timeout to come get an injured player in the final 2 minutes, then you use a timeout.
Yeah.
So I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. I mean, I've certainly seen it more in the college game this year.
Okay.
And it's, and I've seen it in the Tennessee game certainly too.
Yeah. Well, as far as the college games go, there's been some talk about, okay, if a player, the officials can't assume they know whether it's not an injury or not.
Well, they can't see it.
They can't. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe a player, if he does go down with a injury, whether it is or not, he maybe stays out the rest of the series. There's a lot of chatter about that. I just wonder if they'll be addressing that during the offseason. I think they probably will at least try to.
Well, it's the strategy of the game. I mean, it's almost like the shift in baseball.
Okay.
I mean, these offenses are here to stay, just like the shift in baseball seems like it's here to stay. And when you get into those situations, you realize the game's changing. You have to shift the rules in order to address that.
Okay.
And I mean, I think that would be a good change, because the other thing too is it's making the college game horrifically long. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's so long anyway. And I don't know who the power brokers are that run college football, because I don't know where the NCAA is right now. It doesn't sound like they're in the same place they once were.
No.
So somebody's got to step in at some point and say, you know, we make a lot of money off TV. We've got to fix our game to make sure these games aren't running 4 hours.
What is taunting in the NFL? Because we saw Cam go George Costanza on us yesterday, and I'm back, baby. It was just I'm back to the TV camera, and he picked up an unsportsmanlike. Did that strike you?
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. He just scores that first touchdown and comes to the camera. I'm back. And here came the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Screaming it towards the camera.
Yeah.
And the fans. Maybe that's where they got the taunting from.
Well, I mean, that may be. I don't know. I mean, the whole intent of it is to try to keep there from being fights. Because if a defensive player taunts an offensive player, then you get some O lineman who wants a fight. If a wide receiver starts taunting a defensive back, then all of a sudden every defensive back wants to fight him. I mean, that's more or less what it's about. And I think as we've gone too far to be worried about officials being able to keep control of the game from that standpoint,
yeah,
we've almost swung too far around. I mean, that's the feeling. I don't think there's a good answer for it, right or wrong, because it's one of those things that to an official, you supposedly know it when you see it.
You talking about
and there's
the,
never a good answer for that.
The injury?
No, the taunting. The taunting.
Well, yeah, the taunting. I mean, and the thing about it is, my whole thing is, if it's clear, like if he's turning around and they're in the face of the opposing player, that's just clear taunting. I mean,
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you're in the back of the end zone and you're doing that, I think it was, I can't remember which Tennessee player. It might have been Alante Taylor.
That wasn't a dance. It was a seizure.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, then how do we know that wasn't taunting as well?
Yeah, true.
You know, but it wasn't called. So,
well, to me, that's not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a penalty. You could say that's excessive celebration, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
But to me, taunting is getting in another dude's face.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, like you make a great tackle and you stand over him and you start yelling at him or something like that. Yeah, that to me is taunting.
Sure.
I thought what Cam did, no. Yeah. No. I'm with you, Mike. Maybe excessive celebration, maybe, yeah. But I didn't think it was taunting.
Today's edition of Just Another Day in the NFL, Washington beats the Super Bowl champions 29-19 any Sunday, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
That's it. Just like what happened Thursday night with Miami working over Baltimore. I mean, that's what you're going to get. If you play poorly, you lose.
Yeah, that's
right
what
now,
last
you're
night.
To the point in the season that if you play poorly, you lose. And everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kenny. What was that comment?
I said, yeah, that's what we got last night. Kansas City and Oakland. Yeah. So I feel it. I feel it right now.
You still call them Oakland. You can't get away from it.
I know, Las Vegas. But yeah, but I felt it last night.
Mike Vrabel show tonight, Mike?
Mike Vrabel show tonight, indeed.
Look forward to it. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
See you, man.
Guys, have a great week. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Mike Keith. Voice of the Titans on 640 WXSM.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.